I'll talk about the other show, but you kind of just say a few words about how you do it.
Because I need a writer. I was really fortunate to thank the lady who gave me the bracelet, and I don't know who you are, so I can't give you a thank you.
Me.
Thank you very much.
I put some spare stones in case you lose any. Any good glue will fix them on.
Thank you so much. I accept these things, and I have no idea where to write and thank anybody for anything. So I'm going to take this opportunity to ask who.
What are you looking at me for?
We're going to do a new Star Trek movie. I thought I'd announce it because he's the writer of it. Gina's working on a story on it right now. We have two writers, which strangely enough, they brought all the way over from England to the United States. So we could they could write the thing there, and then we're going to bring it back here and shoot it. I don't understand that kind of thinking, but somehow that's the way it worked out.
Well, if you read The Making of Star Trek, you know how studios operate.
we don't know. It would depend on economics. You know.
We hope if the first draft script that these writers turn out is reasonably ready to go, we hope to get into production in late August, because the studio would like to release it next summer. And of course, particularly a science fiction drama, a summer release when students are out of school and so on is considered a very favored time. So that is their hope. Whether or not we make that schedule, just depends sort of on the gods or typewriters or whatever. But we're going to try very hard to. I tell you just a little bit about what you saw today. The story is called Spectre. It is a story of the occult, supernatural. I wrote it because of Major, who is a nut for anything that has blood or horror or anything in the title. And so she kept after me for years and said, why don't you do a supernatural? And she suggested this story, and plays in the picture. She plays a witch named Lilith in the picture, and did a beautiful job. We'll see a new Major without that phony blonde hair.
We were hoping to get a bunch of pictures. I was hoping to get a bunch of pictures made up of me as well, which I would love to pass around. But the powers that be over here couldn't get
not many. we'll get some to the names we have. Maybe you can distribute them.
Oh, you have some.
Oh, we have some. Good.
Okay.
Let's get it to the magazine publishers, and then they can see that.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
What the story has to do with it's we did it mainly for fun. There's no huge message in it. It does say that, hey, is it possible that since prehistory, human beings have talked about creatures from other dimensions who affect us and sometimes push us into evil and so on. It says, is it possible that modern man is not so smart, that if these things have been talked about for 20 centuries, is it possible they exist? So we had some fun with that. It has to do with a demon who in the real hierarchy of demons is called Asmodeus, who is the prince of lechery, who corrupts human beings through lust.
That wasn't my idea, that was
me. And when I got that far, I said, well, where should they find him or release him from his captivity? Where would he operate best? And I thought, England.
England and not Scotland.
I didn't know you'd been to one of my
houses. So that's what it's about. He's been sealed away for 3,000 years by three druid priests, and some time ago he had been released and is now beginning to
Originally, Gene wrote this about 4 years ago along with a couple of other science fiction shows, and CBS had ordered it done, and he wrote it, and he sent it in. They came back, and they said, it's too strong, it's too powerful. Right after that came the actual system, the Omen. In the meantime, it's reverted back to him, and he takes it over to a friend of ours at 20th, and 20th goes, wow, we've got one, you know. So this is how it was made originally as a series. And the three, four main characters of the original, of course, were Sherlock Holmes and Watson, although we couldn't get permission, so they were changed to Sebastian and Ham. And Lilith, who's the housekeeper, who's the witch, and there's a were-tiger in it, who during the day, and when he's outside of the main house, has to wear glasses and gloves, because his hands, in the transition between man and tiger, his hands are claws and his eyes are cat eyes. So it would be the same type of thing as a Spock, for example. Sort of interesting type of thing. And we're hoping that if we can get enough reaction from NBC and from the, let's say, the fans in the United States after they've seen it, that we can push NBC into making it into a weekly series.
But during the writing of it, things have changed. They've become a team, less exactly Holmes and Watson. Their scripts go through versions, and I think it's been updated and made more modern in this version, but that's some of the reason why you saw the drill being carried off screaming with bare legs kicking in the air. I personally hate that sort of thing. We have a society in which anything sensual is considered to be evil, for what reason I cannot explain. And so when you want to show evil on the screen, pair of kicking legs seems to be one of the
ways. Well, actually, they have more than you saw today, too. They've shot the TNB version on Monday. For NBC, you will see the ones with the girls screaming.
No, you won't see it. You won't see it here on NBC. It'll probably be shown here in motion. It'll be shown throughout most of the world in motion pictures.
Well, you'll
theaters.
See the TNB version, which is short for tits and blood.
But it's not an X-rated. There's no vulgarity in it. There are some flashes of steam porn. But it was made mainly for fun, and it's like we're saying to you personally, hey, if you'll swing with us and leave the opening, let us have some fun and try to scare you and puzzle you as to who the demon is and that sort of thing. And it was kind of fun. It was fun to get away from spaceships and that sort of stuff and do this show.
But it's endless too. It could go on forever. There's all sorts of...
We have hopes that NBC will take a look at it and say, yeah, let's make a series out of it. That could be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. The first on our schedule alone, and most important, is the Star Trek film. And I told you about that. I am working with Paul McCartney here in London on a film to feature his Wings group, which will have some sci-fi fantasy in a modern-day sense involving this group, and which Paul, who I admire enormously, I think he's one of the great talents of my time, is working very hard to come up with some new music, just as in his days with the Beatles and Saints, he's moved into new areas of music, and his family hopes to move into still new ones, so there's much, or even more, writing challenge for him than it is for me. But he's a great pleasure to work with, and if everything goes on well, in about a year from now, we will start in pre-production on that film.
And there's another one called Battleground Earth, which is now in pre-production. It's being written. That again is it's for CBS. That they seem very determined to have, and very determined to have right away. Which appears as though it'll be on 60 Minutes starting next September every week. And that will be a sci-fi that takes place here. I mean here. It takes place modern day. But it will have strange people in it, and it'll be again, good sci-fi, but with a lot of messages, a lot of things. Very, very comparable to all the stories that we've used in Star Trek, or I mean, new stories that we should have been using for the next 10 years if we had.
Listen, why don't we throw it open to questions? I'm sure you have something specifically you want to know, and I don't know about her. I don't mind questions because I'm a writer. If I don't know the answer, I'll quickly invent one. So who's going to be brave and go through?
What
about Star Trek movie?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, I love Paul on the movie, or in the movie, or writing the music for the movie, and we really haven't discussed it, but it would be great fun. They're going to be tied up. Paul, he called me about a week ago, and I saw it in the newspaper yesterday that him and her have a baby, so they're going to be really busy for them.
He isn't.
Yeah, incidentally. Yeah, she's the third, but if you saw the stage, you see why you don't wear your best clothes on to the catastrophe scenes on stage. Okay,
what would you say was the most difficult part of a producer's work?
Getting up in the morning.
Yeah, that's hard. That's pretty hard on the actors because they got to be up early and be made up.
No, I meant you.
There are about producers' work.
Yes.
It depends on whether you're talking about producer in the old sense, the person who put together the money and really did the business end of it, or you're talking about the more modern producer, who's usually a writer producer.
I'm talking about, in fact, about your particular position.
I'd say the most difficult thing is, first of all, to put together a company of specialists in all of these many fields. You saw some of what they're doing being done on stage today, because looking at a movie, people think movies are done by stars and writers and directors, and there are like 70 other people who perform incredible functions. Fire effects, who build these stages, who paint them, who have a beautiful eye for taking a wooden door and aging it with paint so it looks like solid pounded gold and all these things. To put together a company like that, to find the right director and the right stars and the right composer, and then it is very, very much in some ways creative administration, and if you try to bring them together so that a committee does create something, and assuming a decent script, the quality of your film will be a combination of not just actors and directors, but also these people who perform these marvelous things, and in the business we value them very highly, even though the gossip columns don't talk about them. Not just a cameraman, but a camera operator who knows how to follow and get those things. We prize them as much as a fine actor. And so I would say putting all that together and keeping it going.
Okay. We're just getting the actors to speak the speech I pray you as I present it to you, keeping me on the top.
What do you start when you start to write a script?
It comes out of most writers are omnivorous readers, and of course they're constantly reading not only the latest periodicals, but they're always reading history and all sorts of things, and some of your ideas begin there. I guess your best scripts, though, usually come out of sort of a twist in your stomach, something about life that either delights you incredibly or that you hate. For example, I have a great anger about prison systems and the way we put people in cages and treat them like animals. I know there must be a better way. I know that whatever they are, may go, and we make them worse by this. And out of this anger, someday will come a script, a story, and it'll be a better script because it started that way. Most good stories come out of an emotion of some sort. One of the pleasures of making Star Trek was, of course, in many ways the most ideal of story series. And we could bring in a fine writer like Ted Sturgeon or Harlan Ellison or any of these and say, hey, what really bothers you?
Well, go out and invent a planet where it's happening and write it,
and this indeed is what they did.
Were you sitting at the same makeup office for the movie? I think I read somewhere that he was retired.
Fred Phillips. He's on the edge of retiring, but he does drop by the office occasionally for a cup of coffee or after sets or an ounce of whiskey. I have hopes of getting him on the show, even though he may not want to, at this time, carry the whole burden. On a feature film, you have to have four or five makeup artists. Anyway, and I'd love him there for his knowledge of what we have and something we've done. At least that we'll have again, and hopefully better as new people come on and add more to it.
You better believe.
It would be a very cold bed, I'll tell you.
Can we find out more about her?
I certainly hope so, because I'd like to find out what the hell she was, too. I'll work on the writer this time. Although the writer really isn't him this time. We'll let them develop it up to a certain point, and then I'll sort of start tingling at some point.
Just look for ideas. I'm looking for rather interesting magazine called Vogue.
Well, she wrote a nice one, the first script that was ever turned in, where Chapel and Spock had an affair, actually, really had an affair. And they turned it down, per usual. So, I don't know what...
I bet there are 20 volunteers in this room.
Probably 52, actually.
I would have been interested what was the Chapel character supposed to be? Well, she never really made it. It was very difficult. Inside of an hour, I will give them this, to take care of 8 people who had as regulars on it and try to develop each one of them. I, not being on top of the deck or anything, and just down below with Bones and never allowed off the ship, suffered, I guess, mostly. I'm hoping that the new film will take care of some of that and develop some of the character, which I'm sure it will, because they'll have time to do it that way.
I'll tell you very honestly the way it will work. When you make a film, and speaking not just for myself, but the director and everyone, and if you have good people who are serious about making it, very often relationships, as dear as they are, the film becomes more and more important, and probably Major will have what is best for the show, best for the character. I do not think in the end she would want me to sit down and carve out a scene that didn't belong in the show or did not follow it because she's my wife and I want to see her on the screen and so on. But on the other hand, certainly I will look for opportunities that are legitimate and proper to
Well, because the character was never developed. We've had so many comments on it that the character was there and it never was developed. And a lot of that came out of the fact that nepotism just goes so far, and as soon as I would get something else to do, it was, it's the producer's wife, and automatically that puts you down somewhere, lower than the snake.
Also, I've got a son. I'm an 85-year-old mother
But if the character had been taken care of just the way the others had, it would have turned out better, but Gene had to be afraid too. He says, I can't do this because it's my wife. So he had to leave me off on the side somewhere. And I'm hoping that now that other writers have gotten a hold of it, we'll take care of that.
Way back there.
If you do use Christine Chapel again, could you persuade her to invest in a bunch of
hair? Yes, no, I wouldn't do it as a blonde again. You know, the only reason that I did it as a blonde in the first place was because in the original pilot, I was second in command. I played number one, as you may know from Menagerie. And when NBC saw it, they said, okay, the pilot, we don't like it. We would like to make the thing over again. You got to get rid of the broad who's playing number one because nobody would believe a woman's second in command. And you've got to get rid, well, this is today. See, you know, they're thinking differently today. The second, you've got to get rid of the guy with the ears. And so Gene's figuring out, he says, why? He says, I don't want to lose the guy with the ears. So he did the best possible thing he could have done, which was he fought for Leonard, kept the guy with the ears, and married the broad.
It would have been illegal to do it the other way.
So that's sort of how I lost out now. Now, when we went back again, now the last thing, once a network says, I don't want this person, they mean they don't want that person. Now, they don't want him to show up again ever in the whole show. So in the first one, if you'd ever noticed, that my name is M. Lee Hudak, which is my real last name. I don't even get right billing on the thing, because I figured if they knew that I had done that and then was going back into the show as a blonde, which they have never known until about 2 years ago, I let this publicity go and said that I was the actual person, and by this time they were so embarrassed they didn't dare come back. If Gene had said that I would like Majel Barrett to play this part, or Emily Hudak then, to play the part of Nurse Chapel, they said, I told you no once, what do you mean, you know? So I had to change my hair, change my appearance, and that's the only way I became a blonde in the first place, so I can guarantee you it won't happen this time.
You'll need to time the, pick which year you're going to have the film very carefully. You know? I mean, if it's 6 years, it's a year too soon.
I don't know. I see, because 10 years has passed, I don't think I'm going to have any choice.
I was worrying about the 7 years, you see.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Depends on how old I am by the time that was made.
and our characters. Although they all look very good. They've taken good care of themselves.
Shatner looks younger than ever.
I don't make the thing we can go back even with makeup and do a story of the day they first met. I think probably we'll be more likely doing the end of the 5-year mission. I think we can leave 3 or 4 more.
And they'll bring out a lot of the gauze and put it over the camera, and that confuses everybody. So we'll get by.
They look very good. They're a good group, and it's going to be one fine party the first night that we all appear. Yeah.
Have you got anybody? Surgeon standing by.
Is anybody signed up yet?
We have commitments. The problem of actually signing people with it, hanging on like this, is when you sign a person under a Screen Actors Guild, you have to pay them a fee every month you're holding them. And with 7 people, we just recently had
eight.
Isn't it?
That's what I have a divorce.
Well, listen, thanks so much again for welcoming us here and being so nice. And we hope we do some films you like. But we've been talking about what we do, and in the meantime, good luck to all of you and your pursuits. I know there are artists here and writers and all of that. And so, for the writers here, when you write your first soul screenplay, consider me as a producer, will you? Thank you very much. I'm going to run the stage.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to take a quick tour around the studios, would that be in order if it's not raining? You have been on a film set. That is the only one that we have that is of interest to you at the moment. But I will show you very roughly and quite quickly, because otherwise you'd be very tired and very wet, what it looks like from the outside.
So this is our very first year, and we're very pleased to have Spectrum. This is our step forward in life. And this is our first year of the second class of the century. Apart from that, I can't tell you very much. Everybody has been here, so I think it's easier for people who have not worked here than we have, and it's a fairly small studio. We call it Spectrum. Pinewood Studios, Mexico. wonderful picture, very much pleasant, pretty, you know. But we get on and we get a ton of love for it here, and I look forward to remember Elsie. And if there is ever a time that you have any queries about things, please do write to me here at Elsie, because we hope that if we don't know the answer, we know it's the answer. That's really good. All right? So, please don't get lost. No, try and follow this character that I've been on every time I have to. All right? Okay.